الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى والذين جاءوا من بعدهم يقولون ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم صدق الله العظيم. My respected brothers and elders, whilst Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was seated at the masjid with a group of the Sahaba kiram, a man pulled in with his shoes in the left hand and water dripping from his beard as though he had freshly taken wuzu. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announced that a person of the inhabitants of Jannat will come to you. This man came and he sat in the presence, in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second day the same thing happened. Before he could come, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had already announced that the Jannati is coming, and same with the shoe in the right, in the left hand, and with water dripping from his beard, and he had just pulled in and he had sat down in the halqa. One thing comes prominent in this hadith. The Sahaba kiram had started with adab, with respect, shoes in the left hand, and if there is a kitab, then the kitab is held in the right hand. We are taught the dua, A'atini kitabi biyamini. Allah Ta'ala, my book of deeds, grant it to me in my right. As though when you are holding your kitab, the Quran, then you are requesting Allah Ta'ala, today I am holding your kitab in my right. O Allah Ta'ala, on the day of Qiyamah, when I am presented with my book of deeds, let it be in my right hand. So these aspects of adab and respect were taught to the child from the very beginning. Not many years ago, we had seen in our children that the parents, the elders would insist that the Quran, the kitabs, etc. must be held in the right hand, near the heart. And even the old had practiced it. We have seen many of our old women, grannies, nannies and dadis, most of us may have seen them. And when they will pull out the Quran Sharif from the wardrobe, and there will be a gilaf, and they'll have one gilaf and a second gilaf, and then they will take it out with a lot of respect. They'll put it near the heart, kiss it two, three times. Then they will place it on the takia, on the pillow, and commence with the recitation. Now, this seemed to be a small thing, but really it was very, very great. In my sight, perhaps the respect that they had shown, our elders had shown to the Quran, to the aspects of deen, the barakat of that adab has flown onto us. We are receiving the barakat of their showing adab, the deen, the goodness has flown and reached to us. So this aspect of adab is very much appreciated in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. مَنْ يُعَزِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ, the one that honors the symbols of Allah Ta'ala. And this emanates from the heart. This respect to the book of Allah Ta'ala is respect to Allah Ta'ala Himself. And you can imagine now that when we show that disregard, well, one book now, we've got one book, then this is another book, so what's so great, what's the big deal about the whole thing? So then, as the respect of the book of Allah Ta'ala begins to depreciate, begins to decrease, then the relationship with Allah Ta'ala also is affected. We don't have that affinity, that bond, and that type of relationship with Allah Ta'ala that we had initially. It is just on account of showing that additional respect, that your deeds also multiply and escalate. Imagine, person made wuzu, and in that wuzu, he had also included the use of the miswak. Simple thing, the use of the miswak. He thought to himself that I am going to be communicating with Allah Ta'ala. I need to have a clean mouth. I need to be presenting myself in the way Allah Ta'ala will be pleased. So he makes miswak properly, correctly. And then he comes into the salah. Now the reward is multiplied 70 times. Without that miswak, 70 times less. With that miswak, 70 times. A little bit of respect, a little bit of ihtimam and concern he had shown to an act of ibadat, and Allah Ta'ala multiplied his reward. One saintly person had seen a Hindu of the locality who practiced Hinduism practically the entire life, and he saw him roaming about in Jannat. So he asked him in his dream, Lalaji is normally a word of respect for the Hindus. Lalaji, what are you doing here? Tum idhar kya kar raha hai? What are you doing here? You can't lose your way into Jannat. Jannat you will go as per the decree of Allah Ta'ala. You can't go just like that. Well, how come you found your way to Jannat? According to our calculations, you're not supposed to be here. How did you come here? They say your calculations are right, but what had happened was some years ago, in the Mubarak month of Ramadan, my child had been eating openly. So I spanked him. Tere andar koi adab nahi, be sharam, be ghairat. Ye musalmanon ka roza ka mahina hai. But no respect. Don't you know it is the Mubarak month of the Muslims, they fast in this month. You must be showing some respect, some type of consideration. Because of the spank that I gave to him, then 3 years before I could pass away, I had accepted Islam. But I had concealed my faith because I was afraid that I would be ostracized. I'm an old person, I require some type of sanctuary and attention. Now if I'm going to expose my Islam, then I will lose all that. So I just concealed it, but I was a proper Muslim, performed all my namaz, all my obligation. On account of that, you see me where you see me today. But the catalyst is this adab. A little bit of adab he showed, a little bit of respect that he showed. These aspects of adab that came down traditionally, really they are great things, very, very great things. Imagine, it was a tradition in most homes that even if you are married now, if you're leaving the house, then you will let your father or your mother or the granny know that, Ma, I'm going here, and inshallah I'll come back by this time. So that married person also found it a duty to inform his elder that I'm going, and this is where my whereabouts, this way I'll be going to, I'll spend so much of time, and approximately this time will be my return. I've seen situations where the whole family was prepared, and the old man or the old woman said, no, you can't go. And without any frown on their face, they all prepared for going for a picnic, and they prepared everything. And at the 11th hour, the old man says, you can't go. No frown on the face, right, unpack, sit down. Your pleasure means our pleasure, your happiness is our happiness, we won't do our own thing. Now this is an indication that this person is going to have a very bright future. He's respected his elder, shown muhabbat, honor. He suppressed himself for that moment, although his emotions ran very high. But for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, he has suppressed himself. Now this is an indication this man is going to progress very, very well. Our Ustad, Mufti Mahmud Sahib, rahmatullah alayh, who was the head Mufti of the whole of India, and the Shaykh ul-Hadith of Darul Uloom Deoband, when he had just come into Dioban around 1964 somewhere. So he had a small room. Now, considering his position, the preparation that he required, the type of seclusion he required, the place wasn't in conformity. But Madrasa had offered him the room without a frown on the face. He accepted it, started the work. Whatever duties assigned, he had accomplished properly, correctly. And after a few months, maybe about 8-9 months or a year almost, had Qari Taib Sahib Rahmatullahi come in and prepared a nice proper room for him that was in conformity with his position and his duties and responsibilities. So he asked him that you may move on here. So he moved, and there was no frown on the face when they asked him to stay in the small room. He was happy. They asked him to live in that big room. He was also very comfortable. So some close accomplice asked him, but don't you feel more comfortable in this more open, airy place than the small little constrained place? He says, no, I feel happy, but not because of that reason. Then what is your happiness all about? So he says, I feel happy because my senior is Qari Taib Sahib Rahmatullahi. He's the principal of the madrasa. He is happy for me to be living here, so I'm happy for his happiness. Although Qari Taib Sahib Rahmatullahi wasn't his ustad, wasn't his sheikh, wasn't his peer, or wasn't his father or uncle, but he was formerly the principal of the madrasa. But I need to show respect, I need to show some type of consideration and adab for the person. And then how Allah Ta'ala takes the person. And we see the Shaykh Rahmatullahi and amongst the senior khulafa of the Shaykh Abdullah is Mufti Muhammad Sahib Rahmatullahi. But this position, recognition, acceptance comes in this manner. Respect, muhabbat, consideration for the elders. We're going anywhere, we're asking them. We're coming back, we're telling them, we've come back. There was a delay, we phoning them and letting them know. If they are calling you and you are engaged in some work, immediately we respond, Ma, I'm coming just now, I'm just in the toilet, or I'm in the bath, and come, just in, I'll be there in a minute. Immediately we respond. Because if we are not responding straight away, they'll be leaving the elder in suspense. Is the person around? Did he hear me? Did he listen to me or not? It was a system that you come to the home, not after Maghrib. You come in, you clock in at Maghrib. You want to play and meet your friends, then before that. But at Maghrib, you must be at home. Now, this was such a wonderful system, such a wonderful, beautiful system. One friend of mine was telling me, I explained to him, you know, this was the original style, the tradition, and the good that we had in there. Homes were running well, marriages were going well, children, they wanted that delinquency in the children. And the whole home was running very well, beautiful. When they had that adab, they had that consideration and that love for that elder. So he's telling me, you know what, accountant, so he tells me, I'm earning big money, very big money, very well, I was very, very wealthy. But you know how I came up? So no, I don't know. So that was respect. Can you just explain me something of your respect that brought you to where you are today? Today in Durban, you are about the most successful accountant, right? But what brought you this? He says, I got married, wife was expecting, and still days of jahiliyat, I was still going to the bioscopes and all that. So I went with a group of friends, I went out, and I came up a little bit late, past 10, 11 o'clock at night. And there, my father was awake. And my father, the way he shouted at me, I didn't show any disregard. I asked for forgiveness, I humbled myself, and it was close, and my father would have given one, two slaps in the presence of my wife, but I was prepared for anything. I showed the respect, seniority, I didn't pull up my face. The same day and the following morning, Allah Ta'ala gave me the blessings that I should ask for maaf. And I asked for maaf. And he says, you know, when I asked for maaf, and things just began to open up for me. One opportunity and the other and the second and the third. Allah Pak is the doer. The first verse in the Quran, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. We believe in the unseen. What do you mean by unseen? We believe that when we will do for Allah Ta'ala, respect, etc., for Allah Ta'ala, He will do for us. That's our belief, that's our faith, that's our iman. So we will show that respect, that muhabbat, and that trials will come on our way. But in the face of the trial, how are we going to respond? The father shouts him, for no more he shouts him, with the seniority, so elder, but he is not frowning, not pulling up his face, got the tawfiq to go and ask the father for forgiveness and a pardon. Our Qari Taib Sahib Rahmatullahi, who was the principal of Darul Uloom Deoband for over 40 years, from the time of Mawla Umarji Sahib Rahmatullahi, right till our time, approximately 50 years he was the principal. So the success that he got, again out of respect. Just respect. You see that namaz made with miswak, and how that reward just escalated. It was his story. He had come home, came on time, but for some small misdemeanor, his mother in the presence of his wife. Now really, he's just newly married. You know, a person is newly married, he wants to show off in front of his wife, he's a champion, he's a brave man, strong, etc. People want to show off these things here. In the presence of his wife, his mother came for a small little mistake and she scolded him. Now, the immediate response of Qari Tayyib Sahib was, he took his mother's hand and he kissed the hand. And then he says to his mother, that I'm so happy today that that consideration that you had shown me in my infancy, you still show it to me now. I'm still your child. Now, then you see a man like Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah being produced. Through him, thousands of ulama were produced. Successful person, orator of his time, and the good that flowed out of his hand. But then, do we see what was the starting point? What was the catalyst? We are looking at the end result, or this is what he came of. But what was the starting? You see Mr. Mandela, right? You saw him in his day of glory. But do you see the day of his sacrifice, the difficulty, the pain that he's gone through? So we look at this, and we'll look at the success that he had made. But the difficulties that he had gone through, we don't look at that. The real thing to be seen is the difficulty, the trials, the tribulations that came his way, and how did he endure, how did he persevere in the face of trials that he had come to the, in this position, in this type of acceptance, this type of respect. As far as the Jummah is concerned, again, respect. The hadith speaks about an aspect of respect. You made ghusl at home properly, washed properly. Then, apart from making ghusl, then you put on clean clothes. Then you applied itar, right? Then you made miswak, four sunnahs that the hadith shows. You made ghusl properly, washed properly, made miswak, applied itar, put on clean clothes. Then you came on foot to the masjid. Right? Now, for every step that you are taking, 1 year roza, 1 year tahajjud. For every step that you are taking, 1 year roza, 1 year tahajjud. This hadith is reported in Abu Dawud Sharif. And the muhaddithin say that when we look and screen all the sahih, very authentic, reliable hadiths, we don't find a hadith as reliable as this with so much of virtue. The others they are, but not that reliable. But as reliable as this hadith, but with so much of virtue, this is about the only hadith that we found, so much of virtue and so reliable. So sahih and so reliable, but with so much of virtue. But then as we analyze the hadith, he comes into the masjid, then he doesn't disturb anybody. Again, he's worried, he's concerned, adab, that I don't disturb anybody in the parking lot. I don't disturb anybody coming into the masjid. I don't cut through the serfs. I don't walk over someone's shoulder. I will come close to the imam and listen attentively. But for all this, approximately 7 deeds, you know, ghusl, miswak, itar, and then putting on clean clothes, coming walking slowly, gradually, spacefully, and then coming close to the imam, listening gracefully, not disturbing anybody, whether in the parking lot or in the masjid, coming, sitting close to the imam, listen attentively, and then for every step, this is the reward that you're getting, you're multiplying, and just for every step, 1 year tahajjud, and 1 year roza. Any of us out of Ramadan can keep 2 months consecutive roza. We find it difficult. I don't say you can't do it, but we find it difficult. Yeah, for every step, and that's the reward. Every step, and that's the reward you're getting. It's a promise made by none else, by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It must happen. It's the truth, it must happen. So, this aspect of respect, and how much they flood our lives with blessings, with goodness, and it paves the future. The whole future is paved. Muhammad ibn Nasr is a famous muhaddith, right? All great imams of hadith, they take from him, Muhammad ibn Nasr, right? So he was summoned by the king as he entered the court of the king. The king himself, his name was perhaps Ishaq, came to receive him, showed him a lot of respect, seated him in a nice, respectable place. Now, Muhammad ibn Nasr is like the very, very great alim of his time, like how whether the Shaykh al-Hadith of our time, he was like the Shaykh al-Hadith of that time. Showed him a lot of respect, seated him. That Muhammad bin Nasr made dua for him because of the respect and the consideration he had shown. They say that the dua that he made, may Allah Ta'ala your kingdom endure for 7 generations. And accordingly, that kingdom just endured one after the other and 7 generations enjoyed. But just one small aspect of respect, muhabbat, for that moment we'll have to endure. We'll have to go through some difficulty, some pain. But then what it perpetuates into after that, what it brings about after that, we can't understand. That's why I say, we believe in the ghaib. We believe that someone is recording. Someone is making a note of everything that's happening. The respect that we show, the muhabbat that we show, the love to our respect, to our elders, to our ulama, buzugal and the impious, etc. And that is the basis of our reward. To the extent we show respect, muhabbat, coming to the masjid, and you can destroy your rewards. Talking of worldly things, no respect, just coming and sitting, however, dressed incorrectly. We can, I won't say that the namaz is not valid. Namaz will be valid. But if you talk about acceptance, that's a different thing altogether. You want the acceptance of Allah, not just go through the motions and finish off with the obligation. No. You want that acceptance. Allah must love you. Allah must accept. You walk into your home, for example, and your wife is not showing you that type of consideration. She is showing attitude, she's busy with something else. You talk to her, her face is turned away. How do you feel? She's your wife. She hasn't walked out of the marriage, but do you feel comfortable? But if a simple, ordinary girl, but she shows you respect, she shows your father, your parents respect, muhabbat, she's complying with the standards of the home, how nice don't you feel? So this is acceptance. One is just going through the motions, and the other is acceptance. Acceptance is a different thing. That acceptance comes generally with love, with muhabbat, with consideration. In the words of Imam Thanvi Sahib rahmatullahi, ta'ammul and tahammul. Before taking a step, that we think, what is going to be the consequence? Short term, long term. I can't blurt out anything at any time. But what's going to be the short term consequence? What's going to be the long term consequence? I told him, I'm mouthful, I gave him whatever was in my mind, I gave it to him. Now, I will feel proud of myself. See, I told him what I wanted to say. But the long term, now I can't face the person. I can't talk to him nicely. I can't see him in the eye. I got some work now, I can't talk to him nicely. So that's the long term. This came from what I didn't consider the long term consequence. Immediately I satisfied myself. I appeased myself telling him what I wanted to say. But after that, now I can't talk to the person. So that says that the steps to reformation and correction, don't do anything without thinking. You got a budget, right? You're earning 10,000, for example. So you're budgeting properly, correctly, thinking about your immediate expenses for the rainy day, something you are keeping, etc. Now, till the end of the month, you got no problem. But you become impulsive and you are buying straight away. Just buy it. Just do it. Now, the end of the month, and you're battling, you're scratching around, taking a loan, going to interest, financing. All these problems started off because you didn't consider. I got this. I can't be looking at that person's posh and destroy my small old Corolla. I got a Corolla, I must be thankful to Allah Ta'ala that I've got this. Look at these people that are living in the squatters, how they living. I must be thankful to what I've got. But I'm going to look at his posh, then I won't be appreciative of the good that I have got. I'll destroy that, aspiring for that. In the meanwhile, I've brought so much of misery and problems to myself. So that says that the first step in reformation, correction is ta'ammul. Think, reflect, understand. Everything in perspective. And ta'ammul, thereafter, you'll have to endure, so you have to persevere. It's a plan. It's a divine plan of Allah Ta'ala. You are in this budget, live. Allah Pak knows why He's kept you in this. You don't think now, why Allah Pak gave him million every day, and me only 1,000 in 2 days. Every 2 days I'm getting 1,000, and he's getting a million every day. Don't think about that. Allah Pak kept you in that position, be happy. He kept him in that position, be happy, happy about him. So, you see this program, this whole plan of rectification, coming nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are progressing, we are coming nearer to Allah ta'ala every second. Every second our day to meet Allah ta'ala is becoming closer and closer. But then if we have to reach Allah ta'ala, why not in a wonderful way? Why not in a way that we become radiyallahu anhum wa radu'an? Allah Pak is pleased with us and we are pleased with Him. Rather than going up and we are scared for that moment, standing before Him, we are very terrified because we've got nothing prepared. And he's not looking forward to meet us. He is not looking forward to meet us, and we are dreading that day. So we know we are going in that direction. Isn't it the wise thing? Then, all right, plan accordingly. You are going that way, then plan accordingly. So we're talking of this Sahabi, and the Nabi Sallam speaking about him, that a Jannati is coming in your midst. So, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As, young Sahabi, 21, 22. Sahaba Ikram, as young as they were very, very motivated. Nabi Sam said this about this person here, I must know the secret. So he's very enthusiastic. Hey, I want to know. That he's a Jannati already, he's cashed in. And he's secured his place. You know, I'm still battling, I'm still struggling. This man is secured. And he's young as myself. So what's the secret? See, the yearning, the longing. The yearning was one. Not that, oh, this chacha got a Merc, I must get a BM. You got a BM, I must get a Jag. If you got a Jag, I must get a something else higher than that. No, that was not the... They understood that this by is temporary. You know? To understand the temporary nature of all this, I show you just one simple example, right? Imagine if Malakul Maut came to you, right, and he says, I just give you 5 minutes to live. In 5 minutes square, I'm going to take you away. No delay, and I won't take you before that 5 minutes. Give you square 5 minutes, in that once that 5 minutes passed, then I'm taking you straight. So you won't be delayed, and nor will your life be pulled out any moment before that. Exactly after 5 minutes. Now, if you got that 5 minutes just left to live, will you long for the Jag, for the investment, for the billions, trillions, gazillions? Or will you long, Allah, but give me 5 minutes, I'll make my wuzu, I'll read 2 rakat namaz, you know, I'll make so much of tawbah, and what will you like? So that means that 2 rakat namaz is more valuable than all that what you are dreaming about. What you're working for, what you're aspiring for, what you're dreaming about, this 2 rakat namaz is more valuable. Al-ibratu bil-khawatim. You begin to understand the value of things when there's a challenge. The greatest challenge is death. There can't be a challenge beyond death, greater than death. So at that moment you begin to see things in perspective. Yeah, right, this is the reward. So now, whatever you've been striving for, besides that just by the way. We don't say that we don't have to work. Everybody has to work. Allah designed the system that you have to work, right? But it is not the goal. It is just a necessity. The necessity is used as a necessity, not made and converted into a goal. Otherwise, if it is that moment, and you don't take the right choices, really, you're looking for trouble. So, this Abdullah bin Amr ibn al-As, young Sahabi, and he sees a youngster, and he has been promised like this, I must get to know what is his secret. How he's cashed in so good. He's secured his jannat, but how he's cashed in? So he went up to this sahabi and he says, you know, I've got a problem, my father. I just need to book into your place for a day, 2 days, 3 days. Not sure, you can come and stay. And you don't want to say that this is what I've heard. To some pretext, I've got a problem, my father. Can I come and stay with you for a few days? Yeah, sure, you can come and stay. Now he's observing now throughout the night, what is he doing? For him to have secured such a great thing, what is he doing? What is his secret? He doesn't seem reading a lot of long rakats, short rakats of tahajjud. He's reading his faraz all the time. Very, very calm, composed person, not an agitated person. If his eyes open up in the night, he's making some zikr, subhanallah, alhamdulillah. In a few rakats, sleeps away, gets up in the morning. Like an ordinary Muslim. Nothing too exciting about him. First day, second day, and third day is the same. Now by the third day, he had enough. He said, hey, you know, boy, I got no problem with father. This is what I heard about Nabi Sam. I heard from Nabi Sam directly about yourself. I want to know what's your secret. I heard this directly from Nabi Sam about yourself. I want to know exactly what is your secret. He said, well, you saw what I am. I'm nothing exciting. So he felt very disappointed. Now he called him, said, no, I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to disappoint you. Now you're feeling disappointed, you're moving away. It's not for me to hurt a Muslim. I would like to see you happy like I would like to see myself happy. But to see my brother be disappointed now, I feel very disgusted about it. But anyway, it was a secret I kept to myself. But now you're feeling disappointed, I have to just disclose, just show you that secret. So he says, you know, it's been throughout my life, this was the standard that I maintained, that I never ever entertained any type of malice for any person. If Allah Pak had blessed him with wealth, I was happy for him. Allah Pak blessed him with children, I was happy for him. Allah Ta'ala blessed him with education, I was happy for him. Allah Ta'ala blessed him with a name and recognition, I was happy for that person. I never entertained any type of malice and ill feeling in my heart for any Muslim. Any Muslim, no matter what he is, who he is, but really, if he was blessed with anything, then I was happy for that person. I never have any ill feeling in my mind, in my heart. How did he get it? Oh, he stole, he's drugging, somehow he's smuggling things, and therefore he's becoming wealthy, etc. It's all uplang money that he's prospering with. It's other people's money that he's playing around with. So I never entertain any type of malice, any ill feeling in my heart for him. His prosperity, alhamdulillah. His success, alhamdulillah. I was happy for that person. Though I don't have that wealth, but I'm happy for every Muslim brother. So well, that is it. But that is a difficult one. At any time, no ill feeling, no malice, no jealousy for any person, no matter who he is. But you feel good for that person, have a clean heart, clean, clear heart. Such a likable thing in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. That you don't have any malice. Anas radiallahu anhu, Nabi Sallam gives him some advice. Ya bunayya in tastatiya, my son, if it's possible for you to pass the night and the morning in a way that you have no malice for anybody. Now every sahabi is watching and waiting. I want to know what is the way of Nabi Sallam. What did he do on this occasion? What did he do in this occasion? At every single step of his Mubarak life, I want to know. There are simple things on Nabi Sallam, nothing extraordinary. But it's just a matter of trying it out, implementing it, applying it to our lives. After all, we have to leave. One way or the other, we have to leave. But we leave with cheers is better than we leave with tears. We leave and we leave with cheers. Allah Pak is happy to see us. We are happy to meet Him. We are anxious to see Him. He is anxious to see us. What a joyful occasion. What a great moment. What a great moment that He is actually anxious to see us and we are anxious to see Him. What a joyful moment. So every sahabi is looking at, alright, what was the style of Nabi Sallam? How did he perform namaz? How did he deal with the youngsters? How did he deal with the adults? How did he deal with people of his age? How did he talk to people? How did he perform his namaz? How were his dealings? How was his socializing? How was his domestic life? How was his public life? Everything. I want to see everything. I want to apply it to my life. Small things or big things, but I want to apply it. And generally the style of sahaba ikram was, they have heard it once from Nabi Sallam, the first time and that's the last time. They will never flaw that after that. Ali Radhiyam says, I heard about the Tasbih Fatimi. The Tasbih Fatimi, that whole story we all know of how Ali had gone or Fatima had gone, and Nabi Sallam, in place of the servant, Nabi Sallam had taught the Tasbih Fatimi. So I learned the Tasbih Fatimi. Then that was the first time I heard it. And after that, I never missed out. Even on the day of Siffin, when we are locked up in battle, very difficult moment, but I made sure before I sleep I will complete the Tasbih Fatimi, then I slept. So the first time I heard it, I didn't need to listen to it for the second time, because that became my mamul, became my routine. No matter what the circumstance, I wouldn't sleep until I've read that. Like how it's our routine now, until we have someone, we haven't had the tea, we can't sleep. We didn't see the news, we can't sleep. We didn't see this show, we can't sleep. We are very anxious to see it. And now we saw the thing, now we feel asleep, right? So this was the style of Sahaba Kiram. One Sahabi, Laqit ibn Sabira, he says, I went to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I saw people coming, and they're taking things. What they hear from him, they're embracing and they're moving away. So I said to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi, give me some advice. So Nabi Sallallahu told him, don't use any abusive language. Don't insult, don't use abusive language. He says, now, for the rest of my life, I never abused, whether it was an animal, whether it was a man, whether it was a slave, whether it was a slave woman, whether it was a child or a grown-up, I never used any abusive language. Now, coming from the village in the sticks, right, and not to use abusive language is a difficult thing. Because I know I've been in these villages, and I see how the people talk, right? Every second, third, they just give it. It's just flowing freely. Now, for that man not to use any abusive language after that, just hearing it once, there must have been a tremendous amount of relationship and a bond between the Sahabi and Nabi Sallam, that as though he is mesmerized for the rest of his life, as though he is hypnotized, that after that he never used any type of abusive language. Once, first time and last time, you didn't need to listen to it to the second time. So Anas radiallahu anhu, he's in the khidmat of Nabi Sallam for approximately 10 years. Youngster, 10 years of age, and his khala or someone offers him to Nabi Sallam. Anas is an intelligent child. Ya Rasulullah, keep him in your service. See the whole style. You must sit by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, learn, understand. Aadmi se aadmi banta hai. That aadmi, man is produced to a man. That wealth doesn't make that man. You know, in Sahanpur, the day of the Shaykh Hadith, Shaykh Mawla, in his day, a delegation came from Burma. Businessmen had come in from Burma, and they wanted to see the financials of the madrasa, how it's working. So they laughed and say, "Hey, what? This is the financials. So any one of us can carry this for a century. You can carry it. We can carry you for a century, and peacefully, gracefully, you can carry you. Even multiply the numbers 5 times, and we will see to it. We'll take control of the whole madrasa." So the principal of the madrasa said, "Maaf, you know, money can make money, but money doesn't make a man. It takes a man to make a man. Money can make money. You can double it, you can multiply it, you can grow it. You can't do it. You can send him to the school, university, and he can learn to generate money. Money can make money. But you want money to make a man? That doesn't happen. It takes a man. Man, that means he's a real man, a good person, a righteous person, to produce a man. You have to be sitting with him, be with him, see his evening, see his morning, see his day, how he socializes, how he works, how he talks. That little bit of respect, that adab, consideration, he's got a style in him that everybody likes him. What is it? Mannerisms, adab, that's what we learned in our homes. The values that we had been taught, ingrained into us. This is the thing that will make us as men. So this Anas radiallahu anhu, his khala had offered him to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, keep him, Rasul, teach him adab, teach him. So Nabi Sallallahu talked to him with so much of love, my son. If it's possible for you to spend the night and the morning in a way that your heart is clear of all type of malice, no malice, no ill feeling, no ill feeling towards anybody, do so. And then Nabi Sallallahu tells him, "Ya bunayya wahadi min sunnati." This is my sunnah. You know, imagine, Nabi Sallallahu has hundreds of sunnahs, isn't it? Don't we say hundreds of sunnahs? It's called sunnat kitabs, right? But from all the sunnahs, Nabi Sallallahu saying, "This is my sunnah." What is he saying? When he said that this is my sunnah, what is he saying? He's saying, "This is my favorite sunnah. If I got 10 sons, that's right. And from the 10 sons, say, this is my son. What am I saying? This is my favorite son. If I have a son that is favorite, then this is one. So this is my favorite sunnah. What? That the heart must be clean, clear. We want to receive the blessings as they are raining from Allah Ta'ala. Blessings are falling all the time, right? And we want to receive it. So we need to have the container in such a state that the blessings will be received well. That blessings must be preserved in the containers of our heart. So the container of the heart must be right, must be clean. Not only from impurities, sometimes it may be something that may be not impure, then to the heart must be freed from that also. Because not every pure thing has to be stored in the heart. Some things can be stored, some things cannot be stored. Some students say, "How can you explain that? You know, it's a pure thing, why can't you keep it in the heart?" I say, "You know, some things, they blend in with the other, some don't blend. Can you just illustrate that?" So I explain to him, "Alright, you got a cup of tea. Can you put a bowl of achar into that? The achar was pure, isn't it? It was pak. Can you say it's napak? But I ask you, can you put the achar into the tea? It doesn't even look nice. So it may be pure, but that doesn't mean every pure thing must be put into the container of the heart." So anyway, so Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, "This is wahadi min sunnati." It's my sunnah, my favorite sunnah, my favorite sunnah. "Waman ahabba sunnati faqad ahambani." You love my sunnah, you love me. See how personally Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam takes this hadith. He takes it so personal that you love my sunnah, you love me. "And waman ahabbani kana ma'i fil jannah." You love me, you'll be with me in Jannah. One sahabi, he's looking at the service of this young sahabi again, Sa'd ibn Rabi radiallahu anhu, very young sahabi, all anxious. What can I do? What can I do? So he offered himself to do some khidmat, time of tahajjud, miswak, water, etc. So Rabbi Sam asked him, Sal, ask, what you want? Ma badalak, whatever you want, ask for it. So Rabbi Sam says, murafaqataka fil jannah. That my luck has just opened out, because the greatest of persons is asking me at the greatest of time, because it's tahajjud time. The doors of the heavens are open. Allah's mercies are coming in. The greatest of person, and is asking him at the greatest of moment. I can't be asking for a portion of milk and all that. That's all stupid things. I must ask something greatest. I can't ask for investments and, if I need to ask the ultimate, I can't be asking for small things. If I need to ask, then I must ask for the ultimate. Yeah, so he asked to be some, murafaqataka fil jannah. Ya Nabi Allah, to be with you in Jannah. See, the ultimate. He's asking all small things. All portion, all that when you see it in Jannah is like plastic toys. Someone give you at your age a plastic scooter, then how you'll feel, right? At your age. So if you see Jannah and these things, it look worse than a plastic toy. A plastic toy, at least the child can play with it. That will look even worse than that. You know, when you look at Jannah, the beauty, the grandeur, the attraction of Jannah, and compete against it, nothing, absolute dirt, filth. So this sahabi says, hey, my luck just opened out. It's my fortune. I must ask if it's asked for the ultimate. So he said, Ya Nabi Allah, I want to be with you in Jannah. Awa ghayra dhalik, anything besides it, no, who was that? This is what I want. So Rabbi said to him, alright, then you're asking for the ultimate, then you have to also work. فَعِنِّي عَلَىٰ نَفْسِكَ بِكَسْرَةِ السُّجُودِ. You want to be there, inshallah, you'll get there. But you must do also something. Buzugani will make dua for you. But that doesn't mean that you mustn't make an effort. You also make an effort. Try and increase your nafil namaz. Come a little bit earlier to the masjid. Read some sunnah, some qaza umri, some nafars, some pass it on to your parents, whoever is deceased. Come a little bit earlier and just make a little bit more namaz than usual. Inshallah, it's my duas and you are cooperating, inshallah. Both combined together will bring us to that destination. So you see this cleansing of the heart, cleaning the heart, so that we can receive from the glory, the grace, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is pouring upon the earth. May Allah grant us all tawfiq. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wassalamu ala Rasulul Kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين.